And we've got more to come, unfortunately. So, anyway, we are in our last message of our Mending series. As Colin mentioned already, from the beginning of May, we've been looking at this focus of missions for May Missions Month, and we're blessed to have so many connections here at the church with mission organisations and people that we support that we extend that through to June. One of the focuses that the Baptist Missions Australia have been looking at this week is the reminder of God's ultimate mission of mending this beautiful, broken world. And the most exciting thing about that is that God has invited each one of us into being a part of it, co-menders with Him. Our first three messages of this series were to show us how we ourselves can become co-menders. And they were, can anyone remember the first one? No one? Renewing. Starts with us. It's our dependence on the Spirit is where it begins, and us focusing on cultivating the fruits of the Spirit in our life. But not only alone, the blessing is also doing that in community. The second one, relating. It's always about relationships. We looked at Jesus' example. He was in proximity of the people that He invited into relationship. He didn't just invite them in, but He shared His life with them and they shared their life with Him. And through that, they became credible witnesses in not only the things they said, but the way that they lived. And come on, last week's? Restoring. All right. It's about the whole gospel for the whole world. And we do this and show this by not only proclaiming the gospel message, but also demonstrating it through our lives. It means personal engagement, how we connect with the people in church and in our community for the kingdom. And again, it's about doing it in community with the Spirit. Today, we're finishing our Mending series, and we're going to be looking at how do these messages that we've already had preached and inspire us to become co-menders in our communities and beyond. Last week, I started listening to an audiobook by Jordan B. Peterson. Some of you might know him. His book that I was listening to is The 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos. If you don't know Jordan B. Peterson, he's a Canadian psychologist, professor, and public intellectual, and is most known for his work in psychology, philosophy, and cultural criticism. And recently, he's become quite popular internationally and getting recognition for his work due to lectures that he gives and interviews that he's given going viral on social media and YouTube. In chapter 2 of his book, which is Rule 2, Treat Yourself Like Someone Else You Are Responsible for Helping, he gives this scenario. He says, if 100 people are prescribed a drug, reality is that 1/3 of them will never fill out that prescription. And then half of the remaining 67 people won't take the medicine properly, they'll miss doses, or they'll stop taking it early. This scenario revealed that even though we might receive information that is important, information that's inspiring, life-changing, from an expert, powerful, even challenging sometimes, if we don't respond to it, it becomes worthless. It becomes ineffective. The importance is of responding, as Ben has already alluded to a number of times this morning. And the truth is, this scenario might not be our exact situation, but there are probably areas in our life where we fall into a scenario like that, where maybe it's health advice. You go to the doctor and he says, do this, and maybe you do it for a day, and then you stop. Or maybe you go to a dietitian and says, you should eat this, this, and this, and not this, but you really like the not this, so you keep eating it. Or maybe it's a PT, personal trainer. When you're with them, it's great, but then when they say, here's some homework to go home, how often do we actually do it? Maybe financial advice, budgeting, someone, even yourself, you set a budget, and how easy is it to follow the budget that you've set? Maybe it's career. I don't remember doing this when I was a kid, but I know it's a big thing now. Career expos. Go to the expo. Hear all this information about awesome jobs that you can have, and then you don't choose any. You just sit at home. Or we have professional development and training. You go along to the training, but then you don't implement it into your life. When we don't respond to information and knowledge that we have or are given, we can't expect to see a positive trajectory in our lives or those around us either. And the same is exactly true for our faith. If we aren't responding to what we read in the Bible, what we hear preached on a Sunday morning, when the Holy Spirit is prompting us, when a loved mentor challenges or encourages us, or even maybe when God speaks to you in a time of prayer, how can we expect our lives to be transformed? Transformed like Jesus' disciples' lives were when they responded. How can we open ourselves to God's leading so we are ready to act and to respond? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. Responding to God's leading. And again, you might think, haven't we been here before, Dion? The beginning of Jesus' ministry. This time, we're in John 1:35-42 that Maxine read for us, where we see Jesus calling his first disciples to follow him. Now, if you remember last time we looked not at this particular passage, but the calling of the first disciples, our focus wasn't on the disciples, but rather it was on Jesus and the way that Jesus did things. And today, we're going to flip that and look at what did the disciples do when Jesus first called them. The first thing that we see the disciples do, or the disciple, is respond with availability. Two of these disciples in the passage that was read for us, one was named Andrew, and the other one, we don't actually know who it is. These disciples had been following John the Baptist. They'd been hearing his preaching for who knows how long. Preaching of the coming Messiah that all the people of Israel were eagerly waiting for. When the proclamation was then made, the long-awaited Messiah was finally here. When he said, John says, "Look, the Lamb of God, just strolling past us." How does Andrew and the other disciple respond? When they hear this, the thing that they've been longing for, do they go, "All right, it's lunchtime now, I'll just go grab a bite to eat so that can wait"? Did they consider, "Oh, actually, I've had a really busy day, I've got to go do the washing when I get home, I'll think about it maybe tomorrow"? Or did they question John? "Are you really sure this is the promised Messiah?" No. The two disciples respond like this. When the disciples heard him say, "There is the Lamb of God," they followed Jesus immediately. They were alert, they were ready, and they acted immediately. They left what they were doing and they just followed Jesus. In the Greek, the word "followed" here is actually, now I'm going to probably terribly pronounce this, I think it's akoulousesan. I could be wrong, but no one else is a Greek scholar here, are they? But the meaning of this word in Greek is it's an unqualified past tense, which, if you know what that means, which I didn't, so I looked it up, means it's a once and for all act. It was a finalizing, showing that Andrew's turning and following Jesus was a commitment to become his lifelong follower, a lifelong disciple, which, as we know, would see not only his life transformed, but the life of his brother Simon Peter and all the other disciples that followed Jesus after them. All because Andrew was willing to respond to Jesus' call with availability for God's use. And the same is true in our own lives. The challenge to respond with availability should make us examine our daily lives. Are we making intentional choices? Choices that align with being available to God's use? Are we prioritizing our relationship with God, being ready to act when he calls? Some examples of this might be volunteering here at the church, at a local school, in your community where there's need. Or mentoring. There is always someone younger than you that you can mentor. Or even as simple as just actively listening to people who we come into conversation with, not just trying to get past the conversation so we can do what we wanted to do. Or even career choices, like Colin mentioned, with the supporting of the barley, five barley loaves ladies. They couldn't have gone without support. Making a career choice to work a 9-to-5 job means you have opportunity to be generous. Or maybe you work part-time and then you've got the opportunity to be hospitable at home, invite people around. How available are you for God's use? The second thing we see, they respond to the call with others. And we saw this in the passage. Andrew didn't just commit to following Jesus as a lifelong disciple and keep it all for himself and think, I don't want anyone else to know what I'm doing. Rather, after spending one evening with Jesus, the very next thing it says he did was find his brother Simon. He went off and went to tell him, we have found the Messiah. Andrew's first concern after discovering Jesus for himself was that his brother Simon Peter must have this opportunity to meet Jesus too. And this is because Andrew already recognized the transformation that he was experiencing in his life through Jesus' love, joy, and peace. And many of us do similar things today. I'm sure you can remember when the last life-changing news that you received, whether it was about a pregnancy, an engagement, a new job, a promotion, moving state or country, holiday plans overseas. When we have information like this, we want to share it. And who do we want to share it with, first of all? The person or the people that are closest to us. And for Andrew, that probably was his only brother, Peter. And the reason we do this is because when we're part of a community of believers, it brings support when we share this information. It brings encouragement. It brings strength to the relationships of the people that we share it with. And above that, it fosters supportive environment where everyone is encouraged and empowered to be able to participate in God's restorative work. So how can we help one another be more available to God and to recognize his leading in our lives so that we can act on it? Maybe some examples are a prayer partnership. I know Joy and Joyce have had a prayer partnership for years. And I'm sure there's probably others in the church when we come together outside of Sunday and pray, encourage one another. Another great one is life groups. We have a number of life groups here which are such a blessing during the week to gather together and to be encouraged, to be spurred on to what God is doing. And again, mentoring is going to come up again and again because it's such an important role within the church. Of the older generation passing on the wisdom to the younger generation. But also, as many of you probably know, serving together is a great thing. If an opportunity comes up, get more than one of you to go and do it together. Things like recently, some of us, six of us guys, went to the Adelaide Men's Conference. A few girls went to the Grace Conference. These are great opportunities to be encouraged together about what God is doing. And even one is Bible college. It doesn't matter if you don't want to be a pastor or if you don't want to be in full-time ministry. Going to Bible college is a great way to see how God is leading you in your life. These things can help us recognize God's leading. The third thing that we see, though, is responding in the power of the Spirit. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, before he even called his disciples, he was baptized by John the Baptist. And in particular, it says after that, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And then after this, being full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was led by the Spirit to face the temptation of the devil in the wilderness. And after overcoming all the devil's temptations, Jesus returns. And what does he return with? He returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. This is Jesus, the Son of God, who at the beginning of his ministry needed to be full of and in the power of the Spirit. How much more then do we need that in our own lives? Just to be able to respond effectively to God's call. And we see it happen to the apostles in Acts when they themselves begin the ministry of the church. All of them, the apostles, were filled with the Holy Spirit. But what about in your life? How have you seen the Spirit guiding you? How have you seen him empowering you to be a co-mender? Maybe it is just as simple as a prompting. You're heading one direction, you're driving in the car, and you just feel this prompting of, I should go this way, or I need to go see this person. Maybe it's a conviction after a sermon that's preached, after a morning devotion that you do of the Holy Spirit. Maybe sometimes it's even a clear command, go and do this now. You might not understand why, but he's calling you to do that. Or maybe it can even be, as a church family, a word from someone else. They might not even be intending it to be a prompting from the Holy Spirit, but he can use us to speak to one another. Sometimes, though, we can be hesitant at these promptings of the Spirit. We can feel inadequate to respond to the way that God is calling us in our own lives because we look at our humanity and we feel like we just aren't good enough or we don't have the capability to do what God has asked of us, which actually is true. We cannot achieve anything that God asks of us in our flesh. But as the Apostle Paul testified in 2 Corinthians, that's a good thing that we can't do it ourselves because we don't have to. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul says, "But he, God, said to Paul, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.'" When we are responding in the power of the Spirit, we don't need to rely on our own strength, but instead we are challenged to be continually open and dependent on the Holy Spirit's guidance and empowerment. It's about living a Spirit-led life. It's about being responsive and obedient to God's calling. So how can we be co-menders? How do we, inspired by these previous messages of renewing, relating, and restoring, become co-menders in our community and beyond? Well, the simple the journey begins with us being willing. With us being willing to be used by God amidst the competing demands of our daily life. By responding to God's call with availability, being intentional about our acts and our relationship with God, making it a priority so that we will be able to act when He calls us. It's as simple as responding to the call with others. We don't have to do it alone. Serving together in community is easier, it's more encouraging, it's uplifting, joyful, and most of all, it's how Jesus modeled ministry. He sent the disciples out in pairs. He didn't send them out alone. And finally, responding in the power of the Spirit means that even when we feel weak and inadequate to these calls that we receive from God, prompts from the Holy Spirit, we need not worry, because the truth is that our strength comes from the Holy Spirit's work in us and through us. God is mending a beautiful, broken world in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Spirit of Christ invites us to join God in this vital ministry of renewal, relationships, restoration, and response. Jesus calls us to be co-menders with God, joining God wherever He brings healing, shalom, and reconciliation and renewal. The question, though, for us is, how will you respond to Jesus' invitation? Let me pray, and then we'll move into communion. Dear God, we just thank You just for the simplicity, Lord, of Your call in our life. The simplicity that all we have to do is be available. All we have to do is be ready for Your call, to act, to follow Your prompting. But Lord, sadly, we get distracted by the things in this world that draw us away, the things that take priority in our lives over Your call. And so I pray, as we move into a time of communion now and we reflect on these distractions maybe that are taking us away from following You and prioritizing You, that You would help us to hand them over to You so that we can be co-menders as a part of Your mission in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.